You know what, JT? Normally this time of the year, we're talking about who are the Browns going to take at number three overall? Who are the Browns going to take, first overall in the draft? Who are they going to get at number six?
No. Usually we're talking about who's going to be our next general manager. Do we have a head coach?
Yeah, all that stuff, right? Well, all is well. The waters are calm. You've got the coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski. You've got one of the top young general managers at 34 years old. In Andrew Berry, you've got Baker Mayfield as your quarterback, and you're not picking till 26th in the first round of the NFL draft. Very strange times for Cleveland Browns fans. So let's bring in the Browns beat reporter at brownzone.com. He covers the team on a daily basis, and get his thoughts about this strange kind of April where it normally is Cleveland's Super Bowl. Scotty Petrak, how are you, Scotty?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, we're wondering. Normally, we're throwing guys around left and right, Scotty, that the Browns are going to be targeting at 1, 2, 3, or 5 or whatever it is. We've got to wait till 26 this year for the Browns to make a pick. Can we still throw some names out there, Scotty, or is this going to be one of those years where the Browns are going to be like the good teams, the Patriots and the Saints, the Steelers, where they take the best player available and we won't know who that is until draft day?
I think it's a combination of both, Kenny. I think you can look at positions that make sense, not only for the Browns, but in this draft. And that's cornerback and defensive end, where there's some names, guys like Virginia Tech's Caleb, these are corners, Virginia Tech's Caleb Farley, Northwestern's Greg Newsom, South Carolina's J.C. Horn, Alabama's Patrick Surtain II, who probably won't be there, but he's a top corner. Defensive ends, Quiddy Perry from Michigan. There's a tandem at Miami, Jalen Phillips and Gregory Rousseau. Those are names that are kind of at the forefront of my mind. But I think you're also right in that the Browns are in a position roster-wise where they don't have to force a pick or force a position. And that opens it up for general manager Andrew Berry to take the best player available, which then could be defensive end, corner, or maybe a receiver. Or maybe a linebacker. So that is a different spot than the Browns have been in, you know, probably in the last two decades.
Scotty, have they closed the book now on free agency, or is this just a matter of time that they decide we'll go back into this, we'll reevaluate what we've got after the draft? And I guess my main concern is this. Is Jadeveon Clowney's name still out there as far as maybe the Browns taking a flyer on this kid?
Well, first of all, you never close the book on free agency, right? I mean, if you're a general manager, you're always looking to improve the roster, and that continues, you know, before training camp, through training camp, even into the season. But your point's well taken. That with the draft, that's kind of the next milestone. And then after that, you reevaluate and say, where does my roster stand? Clowney's the biggest name out there, and that's for a couple of reasons. One, he was the number one pick in the draft, right? He's a big name. Been to Pro Bowls. The Browns had him in for a visit recently. They were interested in him a year ago. They still have a need for one or two ends. So he makes sense. And there's other guys in that category with him, Melvin Ingram, Ryan Kerrigan, maybe Alden Smith. So, you know, if Clowney came to the Browns tomorrow and said, yes, I'll sign for your price, I think the Browns would do it. And then they might tweak their draft approach accordingly. There doesn't seem like anything's imminent with Clowney. He waited a long time last year to sign. So I think the Browns go into the draft saying, hey, we can't count on Clowney. So, you know, I don't know if that forces them to take an end early, but I certainly think it adds a little bit of urgency. But I'll say this. Even if they sign Clowney, it would likely be on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. Tack McKinley, who they signed in free agency, is on a one-year deal. So I don't think that stops them at all from taking an end at 26 or 59, a young guy who long-term you can pair with Myles Garrett and kind of complements the one-year contracts of McKinley and maybe Clowney.
Scotty, what about Olivier Vernon? I mean, I understand the fact that he had the Achilles and everything, but is that definitely a ship that sailed?
Well, no, I just think you can't count on him. I mean, you know, he tore the Achilles, or the Achilles tore January 3rd. So if you put it in a nine-month rehab, right, that puts you right at the start of the season. And I think that might be pushing it a little bit. Sometimes it's a whole year. You know, he's a guy that's 31 or 32. You know, so you don't expect the recovery to be as quick as a guy like Grant Delpit, who's, whatever, 22, 23. So I think Vernon is a guy that maybe the Browns check in on at the end of training camp, and if he hasn't signed with another team, and say, hey, you know, if you can get better by November, we would love to have you and love to have you be that guy that helps us push toward the playoffs. But I don't think you can count on that or commit to that, you know, in April, May, June.
Scotty Petrak, our guest, does a fabulous job covering the Cleveland Browns at brownzone.com. Bookmark it. Check it out every day. The draft's come up. It'll be here before you know it. It's in Cleveland this year as well. So, Scotty, you'll be all over that. Scotty, they've got 9 picks. I can't see a team that's expected to get back to the playoffs and maybe challenge it in the AFC using all 9 picks on rookies. Could we see some wheeling and dealing from Andrew Berry, packaging some picks to move up to target a player?
No doubt, Kenny. I think you're right. I think there's no way they draft 9 guys. Not only is there not the roster, you know, there's just not spots on the roster. You know, you can stash a couple guys in the practice squad, maybe, but that's risky. So, you know, to me, the sweet spot might be 5 or 6 is the number of drafts you want to come away with. So therefore it opens the door to me in 2 ways. Number one, to trade up, right? If you want to spend that extra third round pick to go from 26 to 19 and get the corner you love, you have that option. I think you can also trade a 3rd, 4th, 5th round pick to a team and add more picks in 2022, because we know that Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry like to always have extra picks every year. It gives them flexibility. I think it's a nice comfort zone to have because it gives you the ability to move up and down in a draft. So I would not be surprised at all if we saw 1 or 2 trades up and then 1 or 2 trades into 2022, just because there's some value in that. Sometimes you can trade a 4th for a 3rd the next year if a team is really desperate to get a certain guy. And I think the Browns are in a good spot to do either.
Scotty, Kenny alluded to this earlier, and it's amazing. It's just now kind of hitting me. I mean, what should our approach be to the draft this year? You don't need the 1st overall pick. You're going to take your 1st rounder, but when he's at 26, whether or not they move up or not, how should we approach this as fans?
Well, I think you start with being grateful that they are 26 for the reason that they went to the 2nd round of the playoffs for the first time in 26 years. You know, I think that's where you start. And you look at the roster and say, hey, even without the draft, this is a legitimate big-time NFL roster. And there aren't any gaping needs. Yes, we can talk about corner. We can talk about the end. But nothing that jumps out and you say, oh, my gosh, if we go to the opener tomorrow, we're in deep trouble. I don't think that's how the roster is anymore. And that's a huge change and upgrade from what it was, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
And then I think you look at, okay, I trust, you know, do you trust Andrew Berry to make the right move, whether it's best player versus perceived need at corner, at defensive end? You know, and then you look for the couple of impact players, right? If you're drafting a guy at 26, yes, it's not the same as the guy at number 6. But that guy should still be have an impact as a rookie. I think number 59 to a lesser degree, but similarly,
right.
You want these guys to come in and step into lineup. Maybe don't force them to be a starter, but play legitimate time for you and make, like I keep saying, make an impact. So I think that's how you approach it. And you think, okay, how can this team take the next step, right? This offseason is all about going from divisional round to the Super Bowl. And sometimes those are tiny moves and sometimes they're bigger moves like a, you know, John Johnson III. But all of this is how do you take that next leap as a Super Bowl contender?
So impact, must contribute, but not necessarily as a starter.
Not necessarily. Now, you know, if you draft a corner and Greedy Williams either doesn't come back from the shoulder injury or the corner beats out Greedy Williams, you know, then he could be your starter day one. I think the same thing at defensive end. Right, if you draft a guy and he comes in and he starts ahead of Tack McKinley, that's fine. But there's no pressure to immediately start him at defensive end. And I think that's different than a year ago when Jedrick Wills, he was a number 10 pick, and everything pointed to a left tackle because they didn't have one. And they didn't really have another option. So it was going to be sink or swim. I think you have much more kind of an insurance policy at every position this year.
Scotty Petrak, our guest. Love talking Browns football with him. The draft in Cleveland the end of this month. Scotty, just from that standpoint, will you be doing anything different because the draft is local? Will you be in Berea? Will you be downtown? The fans are going to be allowed into this thing as well. How are you covering it from the fact that it's in Cleveland this year?
Still kind of working through that, Kenny. I don't know if the Browns will have it in Berea, their ass part of it, or if it'll be virtual like it was a year ago. I mean, we've done everything on Zoom for more than a year. And okay. I expect the Browns to do the same for the draft. So I'll probably cover it from home. But I would like to be down at the draft in Cleveland for some of it. I just don't think that's the best place to cover the Browns picks. So I'm thinking I'll get downtown in the days leading up to the draft. You know, Roger Goodell will be here. You get right. Some of the prospects come into town usually a couple of days early. So I think I'll try to cover that part of it. And then for the actual Thursday, Friday, Saturday, be either in Berea or at home, focusing all on what the Browns do.
Scotty, let's say that Andrew Berry does decide to move up and he wants to wheel and deal like Kenny said. Where is this team deepest at if you were to take maybe a veteran and place them into some type of a deal in order to move up into the draft?
That's a good question. I would say linebacker a little bit. I think there's guys there that the Browns would be willing to part with. If some team said, hey, we want to take a chance on Mac Wilson, and that gets you anything, right? It gets you a low-round pick. It lets you move up six spots. I think the Browns would do that. Sione Takitaki at linebacker to a lesser degree. I think the Browns like him more than Mac Wilson just because he played better last year. He was a higher draft pick in 2018, right? He was a third-round pick. Mac Wilson was a fifth-round pick. But there is some depth there after you sign Anthony Walker, after you re-sign Malcolm Smith, after you have Jacob Phillips from the third round a year ago. And then tight end, you know. If a team really wanted David Njoku and was willing to give up something legitimate and take his $6 million salary for 2021, I think the Browns would consider that because they have some depth there with Austin Hooper and Harrison Bryant. But I don't know if there's a spot that jumps out at you. Those just are two where if the right team made the right offer, I could see the Browns being willing to consider that.
Scott, that's a great point, and I think you're dead on there. And that's the good thing about being good, right? You can sit there and wait for best player and add depth, or if you have extra picks, which they've accumulated, right, extra chips at the table to bet, then you can target somebody specifically. And I want to go back to a couple of names you said. I would think Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn are guys they're looking at to see how far they drop in this draft to maybe move up. Agree or disagree on that with the cornerbacks?
I agree 100%. I mean, I think those are the two top corners. I'm not sure if they will be in the Browns' range. Well, let's say this. I think one of them gets picked too high for the Browns. And it seems like that could be Surtain, but you never know, right? You never know what team loves what guy. I'll say this, right. The fact that we could have four quarterbacks go right off the bat, we have so many receivers, you have tight end Kyle Pitts, that first defensive guy might not go off the board in the top 10. And that, I think, sets up well for the Browns. It pushes the positions and the guys they'd be interested down the board and maybe gives them that opportunity to trade up. Right, 26 to 10, that's a big jump. But if you can go 26 to 16, you might be able to do that, and if the guy that you view as your number one corner, whether it's Surtain or Horn, if I'm Andrew Berry, I really consider making that move. I feel like, you know, you don't want to mortgage everything for one season, right? And this is a young team. You feel like the window's going to be open for a while. Right. But you're also in a position where you feel like this is a time to attack. This is a time where we like our roster and we're not forced to accumulate extra picks, right? We already have those extra picks. Maybe this is a time to be bold. And I think that fits Andrew Berry's personality, you know, as long as it meshes with you know, the analytics side of it is you don't want to just give away too much for one guy.
Scotty, I'm kind of intrigued by these two edge rushers at University of Miami. The U, does one hold the edge over the other?
It's a fascinating, and I'm trying to work on a story about those two guys, either separately or together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jalen Phillips, he has concussion issues. He was at UCLA. He stopped playing football, winds up back in Miami, has a killer pro day. A lot of people like him, right? A lot of the scouts like this guy, just physically gifted. But there's some question marks. Gregory Rousseau is a different physical specimen. He's 6'7". He's a little thicker. I'm not sure he's not the same athlete as Phillips, especially when you look at their pro day numbers, right? Phillips ran and jumped. Rousseau didn't have the same numbers, but he's big and he's physical. He's productive, right? In 2019, he's productive. I think he had 15 and a half sacks. So both those guys intrigue me. I think some scouts will like one guy over the other. And if you like Phillips, then you just have to reconcile yourself with the concussion factor. And are you guaranteed that this guy's going to be able to play for you for the long term?
All right, I'm going to throw a couple of the defensive ends into the mix too, Scotty. And I don't know if you know much about them yet. I'm guessing you do, but guys that may be available for them, but may not be because of their talent level. And that's Aziz Ojulari from Georgia and Joseph Asai from Texas. Two guys that are defensive ends that are considered first-round caliber guys. Are they going to be gone for 26, or if the Browns want them, then those would be other guys they would have to move up and trade up to get?
I think one of those guys will be there.
Okay.
You know, I can't obviously too early to say which one, right? But it feels like when you stack the DNs and you stack those two Miami guys and you stack Quiddy Pay from Michigan, it feels like one of those – two guys that you mentioned will still be at 26, if not both, but one of them. And I listen to both their pro days. It's interesting. Ojulari, he's 6'2", 249, and he played some outside linebacker at Georgia. And to me, it's all about projection. Is that big enough to say he can be a D end in the Browns 4-3? And I wonder about that. I don't know. I don't think that's a guaranteed prospect. You know, because you have to set the edge. And it's not just all about being a pass rusher. So if the Browns are comfortable with that and they say, yes, we think he can get a little bigger, and if we pair him with the right, you know, other end, if you play Malik Jackson there on rundowns and then you rush Ojulari on third down, you know, can you do that to kind of ease him into the NFL? I think he's a possibility. Osai is a guy that, you know, I talked to somebody in Texas and just raves about the kid. So I think those are two more names to definitely keep in mind. And again, when you get that far down in the draft, it does become who's available, becomes right, who you like versus another team. But I think all these guys that we've mentioned, some of these guys will be there. And I think that's what the Browns have to debate. Okay, do we just wait and take the guy that's left, or do we really love player X or player Y at either position, corner or defensive end, and it's worth the move up? And that's where I'll be fascinated to see how that draft plays out.
Yeah, because Ojulari, in a 3-4, I could see the Steelers, after losing Bud Dupree, I could see the Steelers being interested in him in their 3-4 defense, Scotty.
I'm with you, Kenny. I'll tell you what, and I like the 4-3. The Browns are in it, and they have Myles Garrett, you know, and he's a 4-3 end, and they're not leaving the 4-3. But it's interesting when you do this draft prep, and it strikes me every year, there feels like there's a lot of those tweener-type guys that just fit in the Steelers system, right? Yeah. Whether it's a guy like Bud Dupree or a T.J. Watt. You know, I don't know. I don't think T.J. Watt translates to the Browns 4-3 scheme. I don't think he'd have nearly the same success. And it just feels like there's those kind of guys available for the Steelers, and maybe that's because, you know, college, there's more college schemes that run like that. There's more guys that are at 250 pounds versus 265 pounds. But I find myself thinking that every draft.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, a different one for Browns fans from two perspectives. How far down the Browns are picking in the first round, and the draft is in Cleveland for 3 days with a lot going on. And we're hearing there's going to be a number of fans allowed to attend all 3 days and be a part of it. So we know you'll have it covered as you always do, Scotty. Fantastic job at brownzone.com. We always appreciate the time you make for us here on the Kenny and JT Show. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, fellas.